Hey, so how did it go today?
Pretty good.
Just when I thought I was out, pull me back in.
It's time for the Mickey Plyler Show, here on The Roar.
Clemson opens up the ACC with a 6-1 win against Virginia Tech, improved to 42-15. Get NC State tonight. Other ACC winners, Cal, Duke, and Boston College. In the SEC, A&M, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss advance. And the Gamecocks to keep Paul Maneri as their baseball coach. A busy Thursday show, so let's go. Good morning, sports fans. Glad to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Thursday, May the 22nd, 2025 football as well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Paul Strelow, TigerIllustrated.com, will join us. He'll do that at 8:05. We'll talk some Clemson football recruiting. We're 2 weeks away from the huge recruiting weekend for the official visit for the summer coming up in Tiger Town. He'll give us an update with that. We'll get a little poll question for you. Talk a ton of college baseball today. Some Major League Baseball, some NHL, some NBA. I'm kind of breaking some rules there. Get some NFL things for you. And I even have a women's golf and a collegiate women's golf story to get into today. The producer of every single Wednesday show today for a Thursday. Good morning, the official Sam Jones. How you doing? For some reason, Sam, we can't hear you over there. Maybe we can fix all that. Hope he's doing well through it all.
How about now?
Perfect. That's much better.
There we go. They had it. So, we were set up for the remotes for Faxon, I think, or something. But okay. We're good.
Good.
I'm good. Good. If you guys didn't hear, I am uneventfully good.
Your sports day yesterday. What happened in it? What did you do?
I watched the Clemson baseball game. Watched some Guardians baseball. Watched the. Sat up late watching that Pacers game last night. Had a good day. It was a good day of sports. A lot of fun stuff. I watched the Europa League final, and I watched your team lose to Spurs, which I live with Faxon, so I'm never going to have to hear the end of that. So thank you for that one. But it was a pretty dang good day of sports. There was a ton of interesting stuff going on.
It really was. Had some walk-offs. Sorry, on your Guardians. My Yankees did do that. So that was kind of good to see. All the college baseball. I watched a ton of college baseball. Oh, let me put it this way. It was on at my house. Did I watch it? Did my daughter like it? Watch it? All kinds of other things happening for a part of that. And then last night, watched a little NHL, watched a little women's golf with the national championship stuff, and then went to bed with the Knicks in control. Wake up this morning to see the Knicks lost. As I bring in the landman, Landon Harbin. Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. You have a stat for us today. Sam, I don't know if you've heard this stat or not, but Landon has an amazing stat about last night's NBA basketball game.
Yep. Woke up this morning, stayed up much like Sam did, unfortunately. Kind of regretted it this morning, but watched the game nonetheless. And in playoff games, the team's trailing by 14-plus in the final 2:45 of the fourth quarter. We're 0-994 until last night the Pacers came back. From down 17 at the most, went on a 20-6 run, and now that stat is 1-994.
I'm glad he brought that stat up, because I've got a couple as well, just to illustrate how I say the word stupid in a good way for this Pacers team, how ridiculously improbable and stupid this team is. Of the 10 most improbable comebacks in the play-by-play era, which is since 1997 in playoff history, the Pacers have three of them now in this postseason. As Landon mentioned, teams were 0-994 in that situation before then. The Knicks had a 99.7% winning percentage when they led by 14 with 2 minutes and 51 seconds left in the fourth quarter of that game. The Pacers scored 23 points in the last 3:14 of that game. And according to ESPN's win probability, Indiana had a 99.7% chance of losing versus New York in Game 1 in at the end of that game, 96% losing to Cleveland in Game 2 of their last series, and a 98% chance of losing to Milwaukee in Game 5 of their first series. The odds of winning all three of those games, Mickey, would you like to guess?
Oh, now, yeah, because you got to multiply all those together. You're talking about, like...
1 in 387,000.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton is now, I believe the stat is 12 of 14 on game-tying or game-winning shots this season. I don't know how to describe this team to somebody who hasn't watched them play all year or is just tuning in. I've never seen anything like it. Usually that's an exaggeratory statement. They are quite literally the like perfect combination of everything going right at the end of these games and also executing every single thing perfectly and coaching perfectly. It is unbelievable.
It becomes a culture at some point in time, like the expectation of it.
They play harder than everybody. That's part of the reason this keeps happening to me. But they're baffling.
Yeah. Really is amazing to see. And now, well, you can look at it one of two ways. I think the way I look at it is that's a dagger. Now you've got home court advantage, and now the Knicks have to come back just to even it at home against that kind of emotional draining loss. Like that's I think the Pacers took the series. You know, very seldom do you win a series in game one, but if you can, last night was an example of it.
I agree. Tyrese Halliburton got away with doing the Reggie Miller choke celebration before the game was even over, and that is a sign to me that there is some sort of magic on the side of this Pacers team. I think they've won. I agree. I think they won the series last night. I know it sounds silly, but I think they're better than the Knicks, period, and now you're working with that type of momentum in your favor again.
Yeah,
it's hard to come back from that. Hey, but you never know. Who knows at this point?
Why do you guard him? You're down by you're up by let's see if this is right here. So his foot was on the line.
His foot was on the line because he tried to drive, and Mikal Bridges
I'm watching it now.
Poked the ball.
It was a two to tie it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why you guarded him going down the lane.
And he thought it was a three.
Yeah, he thought it was a three. He thought the game was over. And the Pacers thought the game was over. But really, the game was over, right?
The problem down the stretch of this game, and the Knicks took like a 5-point lead to start overtime. And I thought, here come the Knicks, and then they lost. The problem with the Knicks is up three – or was it Landon, maybe you can help me out with this. They fouled up three with 13.9 seconds left. I'm 99% sure that's the clock. And that is the exact same thing that Denver and Oklahoma City had happen in game one, where OKC fouled up three too early. Yeah. Denver hit both their threes, make it a 1-point game. They foul on the other side, and then the Knicks miss a free throw.
So they purposely fouled?
Let me
be clear about this. There is a great axiom in basketball. When you are down, when you're up. So when you're up, the one thing that you got to have is the clock moving. And if the other team is scoring while the clock is still, that is a death sentence, man. You can't do it. I don't like fouling on purpose at any point in time where, you got to foul before you get three, because you can fake the three or you can try to hoist up some three. You're always running that. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. I don't want my opponent, you know, on that other deal. If they're down by three, you foul before they get two. You make one. How about an offensive rebound? How about a putback? Look, I don't want my opponent scoring with the clock not moving.
And you don't want to do it with 14 seconds left.
Way
too
soon.
That guarantees you have to make at least one set of free throws, probably two, and they get two cracks at the apple on the other side.
It's just
a risk that you don't want to take that early.
Don't like it. Don't like anything about it. So that, my friends, just broke a 28-year record for the most NBA ever talked. That's not true. We used to talk it years ago.
This Pacers team has earned it.
Now, I can't remember exactly the date that we shut it down. Well, I can remember a few dates that we shut the NBA talk down. It was a gradual shutdown when divahood set in. And we got to worry about where Kevin Durant's going to be signing next year. And where diva land. It became that. The other one was with the stuff where the rockets fired to GM because he said something about China. I'm like, I don't know, man. I ain't taking up for China because you sell a bunch of basketball games in China.
I certainly wish Kevin Durant would have signed anywhere else for what it's worth, so I probably could have stopped talking basketball that day.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. We're going to talk a bunch of Clemson baseball in segment two. What a terrific win that was. There were so many wonderful things that came out of the win. Cannot getting deep into a game. McGovern looking brilliant again. Not having to use, well, Garris, we don't know about his back, not having to use Milstead. Mm-hmm. The offense jumping back after giving up the first at-bat home run. The only run scored with a leadoff home run for Virginia Tech. The next 27 outs didn't produce a run. And then offensively getting purified back on track, what Listy did with two hits and four RBIs. Wentworth in the lineup in right field getting a couple of hits. The Tigers only making one error and not giving up any unearned runs. The Tigers only walking two batters while striking out 10. Meanwhile, walked four times for them and out hit Virginia Tech 10-4. It was a terrific win to move to 42-15. And now, one of the things we're going to talk about in today's show, you know, Clemson has very few chips on its shoulder in a 42-15 season. One of the chips on the shoulder, though, is NC State.
That's the biggest chip, I would think.
Because they got embarrassed in Raleigh, and they got beat up pretty bad in Raleigh. So we'll talk much more about that coming up here in a second. I do want to tell you about Blue Ridge Heating and Air. They do an amazing job in the Brevard, Hendersonville area, in the Greenville, South Carolina area. You want to get with a company that's going to get your HVAC, your heating, your air, make sure that it is running at a very efficient level, then why not go and get this thing tuned up and tuned up right? We've got highs in the high 80s coming up in the first week in June, and we've got lows in the low 60s, even high 50s maybe in some of that time. Well, like tonight, 57. This is where you can put some stress because you're running heat at night, you're running your air during the day at times. Put some stress on your HVAC unit. Make sure it is running very efficiently. Do that with my great friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. If you need a new unit, they've got Armstrong units. You'll love BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. All right, Clemson wins. We're going to get into the rest of the ACC. What did California's win against Wake do? What did Pittsburgh or Duke's win against Pittsburgh do? What did Virginia's loss last night? Virginia's like one of the last four in, according to D1 Baseball, and they lose last night. Is Virginia out? We'll talk about that. Georgia loses in a pitching duel. I watched that game last night, the end of that game last night. Oklahoma wins 3-2 to continue to advance. We had the third Saturday in October with Tennessee and Alabama, and it looked like a football game yesterday with 25 runs and 30 hits. We'll get into that. I'll tell you about what happened with Ole Miss and Florida late, with A&M early against Mississippi State, and then set up what's coming up with tonight's games, today's games. For Clemson fans, 7 o'clock tonight, 6:30 pregame show, Clemson and NC State. So we'll talk about that. Gamecocks bring back Paul Maneri. We'll give you thoughts on that coming up. A Gamecock baseball parent rips the staff. We'll get into that a little bit. I don't normally do this kind of things, but this was kind of interesting what he had to say. The Braves postponed. Weather got Mother Nature up in the nation's capital. We'll talk some NHL playoffs. Jim Irsay passed away. We'll talk about that. The Tush Push lives. We'll get into that a little bit today. And we don't have the greatest women's golf team in college history because they got beat yesterday in the national championship. So a lot to do. Quickly, my great friends at Tiger Sports Shop. Landon came in and taught me something this week. It's not this way this morning because it's like when you bring an umbrella, it doesn't rain. So I brought my hoodie from Tiger Sports Shop today, and it's not cold over here today. You normally come in here and you can hang meat in here, it's so cold. But it's not today. But anyway, I've got it on. I want to encourage you, if you come into the softball regional, you're coming into town, get your Clemson softball gear there, your Clemson baseball gear there, get your summer, you got your football stuff that's coming in now, all of the Lululemons and the Nike sideline apparel stuff, they've got it. And they've had it, and they're going to continue to have it, and they've done it for 50 years, and do it for 50 more, hopefully. See our great friends at Tiger Sports Shop, tigersports.com, College Avenue, Tiger Boulevard. So our great friends at Tiger Sports celebrating that 50th year. Good stuff. Short break, segment two with Sam Jones right after this.
QC Kinetics provided amazing pain relief for a former professional baseball player, and you have access to the same life-changing treatments as retired Braves pitcher Jose Alvarez.
I put a lot of stress and strain and work on my right arm, but my right elbow took most of the damage with three surgeries.
Arthritis developed, and the pain was unbearable.
It wasn't just pain when I was trying to play sports. It was anytime I was moving the right elbow. It was pretty excruciating at times.
That's when Jose discovered QC Kinetics and their regenerative treatments that help the body heal itself, restoring damaged tissue and providing relief with no surgery or downtime. Jose's message to the medical professionals at QC Kinetics?
My elbow is feeling outstanding. Where were you 10 years ago, for crying out loud?
QC Kinetics is right here. Call for your complimentary consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. QC Kinetics, 864-448-3772.
Hello, Medicare recipients and Roar listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low-income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC's special offers will afford you quality air in your home and allow your budget to breathe too. For a limited time, they're offering up to $2,000 in rebates, or qualified buyers make no payments. Incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today to learn more about these limited time offers. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
Experience the magic of the Troubadour Project at the Wahala Performing Arts Center. Joined by special guest Nashville Nation and local favorite LC Branch, the Troubadour Project brings the iconic sounds of the 1970s rock to life. With world-class musicians and vocalists, they capture the essence and energy of legendary bands like Led Zeppelin and Fleetwood Mac. Don't miss this unforgettable performance on May 25th, exclusively at the Wahala Performing Arts Center. Secure your tickets now at wahalapac.com.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Here at ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere, or we'll both lose money. Come by the store located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville today.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Pat Tex, Patterson Texas, PATTX.com. It was 1 year ago this week that a good friend of mine had filed an extension. And matter of fact, I've got another friend of mine who does taxes, and he said, I just tell my people just keep filing extensions. I don't like doing that. I like getting in, getting my refund or paying whatever you got to do. And taking care of that. But a lot of people are doing those kind of things now. And so they're still doing your back taxes, your unfiled taxes, amending taxes, and tax any of your extensions you're taking care of. But right now, too, you're talking about they're doing all of your bookkeeping services for your sales tax, use tax, hospitality tax. They're doing this for every state in the country. They're doing this for the bookkeeping to assets and liabilities and the monthly tracking of all that, and they're providing payroll services. What they're doing is taking a lot of that headache out of your hair and taking all that stuff out of your life, and their expertise is saving you money and time. So find out how and why the Patterson Tax Service is the best for your small business, best for your individuals. 864-859-8289, the Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com. And, you know, unlike your barbershop where you stay local, or unlike your dry cleaners where you stay local, you don't have to stay local here. If you're listening to us on the app somewhere, hey, they can take care of it for you for sure. Patterson Tax Service. Segment two with the official Sam Jones.
Segment two will be populated by Clemson baseball for a good bit here, since they're playing pretty big games every day now, I'd say. And I was pretty satisfied with yesterday's win against Virginia Tech. You know, we talked about how you had to go Canuck in that game. Yeah. You needed to start the tournament off on a high, get some momentum going, settle your team in early. Canuck gives up the solo homer basically to start the game, and then nothing after that. Just lights out, gave you exactly what you needed in six innings, and that's why you start your ace in game one. You worry about tomorrow, and you get him out there. And then the lineup did enough in this game. You know, they went out there, knocked in 10 hits, drew some walks, scored some runs in unorthodox ways, scored some runs in more traditional ways, kind of did everything you wanted to see from them yesterday, beating a pretty solid Virginia Tech team. And like you mentioned, Mickey, you set up now kind of the game that they were probably hoping before the bracket even came out to get another crack at this NC State team that killed them about a month ago. I feel pretty good about them over the last few games, over yesterday's game. And I'm glad they get another crack at the Wolfpack here, even if it wasn't pretty last month.
Well, one thing among the many great things that happened yesterday afternoon, one of those is that they just continued to play at a really high level after kind of the reset. You know, this is a team that obviously you go back to what happened in Raleigh, and from that point in time, even before Raleigh, like the last game of the Louisville series, before the game before they beat Georgia, but then getting swept at Raleigh, losing 2 out of 3 at Florida State, losing 2 out of 3 to Duke, like it was not losing to Coastal, it was not a very good trend. They were trending in the wrong direction. They weren't playing good baseball. And again, it's hard to just take the results out of it. But when you watch this team play in Raleigh, when you watch them play that final game at Louisville, when you watch the Florida State, the Coastal Carolina, or the Duke series, they didn't look like Clemson baseball. And again, victory of accounts aside, it just didn't look the same, right? I mean, results aside, it didn't look the same. But in the reset of going to Pittsburgh, it's not just the 6-1 victory there, or the 11-2 victory there, or the 13-6 victory there. And the same thing with last night, the 6-1 victory. It's that it looked like Clemson baseball. They had base runners and traffic on the pass. They had good starting pitching. Bullpen came in, pitched really well. They didn't walk batters. They were throwing strikes yesterday. They hit two outs. This team thrived to two outs all year long, right? Until to the NC State series. Well, all four of Listy's RBIs came with two outs. So two-out hitting was great. Didn't leave as many runners on base and scoring positions. You know, like, they looked like it was clean baseball, like aggressive baseball and Clemson baseball. And again, how did it go? Well, when you get six solid innings, 93 pitches, by the way, for Canuck. So can he come back on Sunday? Who knows? We'll see. With that said, that kind of start did two things. You can say save it for NC State maybe, but if you don't win, you don't get NC State. The other thing it did by going that deep into the game is you didn't use Mostyn. Who knows about Reed Garris at this point in time? But you saved your guy. McGovern threw 30 pitches. He might not come back today, but with a day off tomorrow, if Clemson can win, you get him back as well. And then Allen only pitched 12 pitches. He'll be ready to go an inning maybe tonight. So getting that deep into a game, you couldn't have drawn it up any better. And I don't know why Eric Backich decided to start scripting these games and it going perfectly according to script and editing for television that it turned out that way, but that's what it did. It was like not perfect, but exactly how you would draw it up if Eric Backich could do that.
And, you know, we talked a lot this year about, obviously, the bottom of the order producing, but the top of the order, at least at the beginning of the year, was producing at a ridiculously high level, and a few guys like, even with the injury, Cannarella and Priest and Jerem Purifoy especially, early in the season, were producing at a really, really good level. But you felt with Cam there was another level that he could still hit, right? Coming back, you know, still not – he's fully healthy at this point, you would think, but, you know, still getting comfort back earlier in the season – it feels like Cam Cannarella is back to Cam Cannarella levels right now. Maybe the
16-game hitting streak.
Maybe the traditional power isn't quite there yet, but May Cannarella appears to be a real thing. He continues to hit deep down the stretch in seasons, and Purifoy had three hits last night as well.
And got hit by a pitch.
Yeah,
he was on base four times.
Yep.
You know, his ability to put pressure on the defense. When you have Cam, who got on twice, Purifoy got on four times. That's six times at the top of the lineup setting the table.
And Purifoy, especially after his injury, you know, he misses a weekend. You're looking for him. He comes back a little slow, and he'd slow down a little bit before that because, logically, he wasn't going to put up a 1,200 OPS all year. But if they can get him back to the levels that he was at the beginning of the year, that opens up the lineup even more. There were a ton of positives to take away from this game yesterday. Again, I came away really, really satisfied with everything that I saw. I felt great about it.
All right, I agree with that, too. So one of the things that happened yesterday is that the Virginia Tech did a really good job against Gerald and Crichton.
Yeah.
So it slowed down that part of the offense. Well, okay, that's fine. Wentworth gets two hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, Purifoy on base four times. Listy gets a home run, a double, four RBIs. Purifoy scores twice. Cam's on base, and he scores.
Walking a hit for Chufo as well.
Yeah,
hits from a lot of guys.
That's exactly right. He was on base twice. Listy was on base three times. You know, the Tigers only walked four times yesterday, but you had a Virginia Tech error. You had a hit by Pitt batsman yesterday. All, you know, the offense, six runs is enough and should be enough with the Canuck on the mound. And you get some momentum. And now, you know, State hadn't played yet, and I'm sure you'll see State's best tonight. It's a big challenge. But one thing about tonight's game, NC State was not who – For a lot of the season, they weren't who they looked like against Clemson. I mean, as their manager told, their coach told Eric Backich after the series, he said, man, we just played perfect the entire series. Like, that's our best baseball. That's the best we have. Because if you watch NC State in that series and you watched the bullpen, they're starting pitching one thing, too, and then their bullpen, you're like, man, these guys, that's amazing. Like, this team is an Omaha team for sure. Well, after that game, they went 3 in a row. I know that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They went 3-6. So hopefully Clemson plays the NC State team, not they saw on April 24th, 25th, and 26th, but the one that lost to UNC Wilmington after that, the one that lost both games down at Coral Gables, the one that split with North Carolina, and the one that lost 2 out of 3 at home to Stanford. So that's kind of who you are. Now, hopefully, part of that is their offense hadn't played as well as it did in the Clemson series. I think they're going to pitch really well, and I think tonight's another a low-scoring game because it's not been the pitching, it's not been the defense, but they've had a little bit of time scoring runs, a little difficult time scoring runs here. And as a result, Their RPI has gone up a little bit now, and NC State at 32, I think they're in, but I don't think they're hosting, any chance at all hosting, unless they win the ACC, maybe. So maybe State might not be as motivated to play well tonight. But the hope is you don't see the team you ran into, that bus all up in Raleigh.
Yeah, your hope is that NC State was peaking at the absolute worst time for Clemson, which very well may be true, and that Clemson was also kind of, you know, hitting their bottom point. And you can argue when their bottom point was, whether it was that weekend or maybe Duke a couple weeks later. But that was a bottom point for the season. That was the first sweep, first series loss of the year. You kind of hope that that's going to course correct itself a little bit today. NC State's really good. They're going to give them a tough challenge today. This is one of those games where you kind of feel like the players are going to have, like you said earlier, a chip on their shoulder, kind of a get-back mentality, because you don't always get a crack at a team that beat you in the regular season come postseason time, and they do get a crack today in a do-or-die single elimination game, and they have a chance. So we'll see if they're able to take it. I feel pretty good, like I said, coming out of last night. Again, I still want to see the Bats continue to play the way they've been playing the last few games. It's a good mixture of small ball. It's a good mixture of long ball. They're doing kind of everything they need to right now to win. That's getting them back on the track that they were on at the beginning of the season, that they lost for a few weeks there. It's hard not to feel good right now, but this is the big test to see if that's kind of back to the normal levels.
Landon, did y'all have the game on at work yesterday? You had a chance
to
see it? Yeah.
Indeed.
What is it, guys, about Cam Cannarella in this extremely strange play that kind of set the tone? If you think about this, if Cannarella's out at home there in the bottom of the first inning, the Tigers don't get three runs there. They don't score any runs there because the home run came with two outs.
They're down, yeah.
And they're down 1-0 going to second inning and would have wasted a couple of guys on base there. What is it about the guy, the knack? Like, I don't know, and he can't slide head first because of his shoulder. But, like, this the knack, man, he makes these uncanny plays, like plays you don't normally see. Maybe the game looks slow to him. But did you see the play we're talking about, Landon?
I did. And I was really going to talk about, like, the double to begin with. Like,
yeah.
I think that was a big part of it to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, you just saw the leadoff guy for, you know, Virginia Tech hit the tank, right? Kind of get the Hokies into it, right? They're feeling themselves. And then Cannarella just comes right back. And I think the double, you know, a couple pitches into his at-bat kind of settles the team down a little bit, because then you see Purify right after that, he follows it up with a nice hit himself, and he ends up having a great day.
Yeah.
But I think that slide is kind of the difference in that game, just because it kind of evens everyone back out. I think even allows Canuck to kind of settle back down a little bit too, because you see, okay, now my offense is backing me up. It's up 3-1, and then he shuts it down for the rest of the way. So, I mean, what Cannarella does time and time again, and like, you know, Sam said, maybe not with the power as much. They talked about it yesterday a lot. In fact, they were like, you know, down from those 11 home runs. But I think he's doing it in other ways. Like, you're still seeing the defense, but I think it's the timely hitting, the clutch hitting, that I think has gone up since a year ago.
Think about Cannarella from this standpoint, and clutch defense too. Think about it from this standpoint. As a freshman, he was a base stealer. With the shoulder, he doesn't slide head first anymore. The base stealing, that's been taken away from him. A little more of a power threat there as a freshman. That power threat's kind of gone. And a guy who had a decent arm in center field, that is gone. Yet the guy has continued to stay in the lineup. He didn't take all the time off to do it. He stayed in the lineup, and he continues to be a major part of that. And I think they take his pride as a leadoff hitter. You know, they moved him down in the lineup. It seemed like he's more productive there. 16 straight games with a hit now, 16-game hitting streak. The other part of it is, like, everybody's role is clearly defined now. Well, I shouldn't say clearly. Sometimes Pano, Gaffney, you know, Crichton, the Wentworth stuff there, those roles kind of change a little bit, kind of interchangeable a little bit. But with Cannarella and Purify at the top of the lineup, and then some power behind that with Priest and some guys behind that, and then the bottom line kind of produced a little bit. It's like the roles now are back to where they were at the beginning of the season. And I'll just tell you, I don't know if there's a better 1-2 first and second hitter in the lineup than having Cannarella and Purify as far as putting pressure on defenses. I mean, Purify is going to run. Both of them are going to run the bases well. The number of walks they draw, hits, pitches they draw, like that's that. No one sets a table in college baseball any better than Cannarella and Purify. And it happened again yesterday. Like I said, six times on base yesterday.
I think the thing with Cam Cannarella, and Landon hit on it, it's secondary value. Even when you don't have the power necessarily. And with Purify as well is another one where I think there's a ton of secondary value with the base running and the fielding. Because everything he does at second, it's just clean. He's just clean. With Cannarella, you mentioned he doesn't have the power right now. And he knows that. He can't dive in head first. He knows that. But you find a way. And you find a way when you're up at the top of the lineup, and Cam Cannarella continues to simply find a way. I don't know how he scored on that play. He was dead to right. No shot. He should not have scored.
The game slows down for him.
And that's what great players do. Yeah. They find a way, and Cam Cannarella always does. Yeah. There is so much secondary value there in his fielding, in the base running, even if he can't, you know, be as aggressive as he wants, stealing bases. And it makes him such an unbelievably excellent player. And you never know with the power. If it comes back at the right time, there's still another gear for him to hit.
Yeah.
So I can't speak enough about him. I can't speak enough about Purify. I really can't say much more about the team that hasn't been said yesterday. They were great.
Well, when the lights are on, like in the biggest moments, like a sacrifice fly yesterday, that's exactly what they needed at that point in time. Their base running stuff, the run, the hits, leading the game off. He might do it defensively. He might do it on the base pass. He might do it at the plate. The right walk at the right time, you know, getting hit, hitting the bait, whatever it might be, when the lights are on, the bigger the game, the bigger it is for him. So that should continue, and hopefully that will continue. Hey, before I take a break, that wasn't the only great baseball news we've had here locally. I want to give a shout-out to the Simpsonville 10U Kids Pitch Evergreens that last place all last season. They've caught fire now. They've won three in a row in the playoffs. They're in the championship game tonight, 6 o'clock. So take care of it, boys. Get the thing done. That's it. You can get a chance to win a championship tonight. So good luck to you guys. Hope it works out well for you. Let us know tomorrow how it does for sure. A short break. We'll come back. I'd love to hear from you. Open phone lines for four straight segments, phone lines and text lines right after this.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount, military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson, and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because both Lake Kiwi stores have employee pricing for everyone available. You pay what the factory worker who builds the truck pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com. See dealer for details.
Do you need a will or want to secure your family's future? Join us at the Shaw Center's semi-annual will clinic on June 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Golden View Baptist Church in Clemson. Get your will written by a volunteering attorney completely free. Plus, attend helpful workshops on heirs property, financial literacy, genealogy, and final expenses. Call 864-986-9460 to speak with Rosa and get your confidential pre-registration paperwork started today. Secure your legacy. We're here to help. ShawCenter.net.
Missing shingles, granules in your gutters, or water staining on your ceiling are all warning signs, visual cues that your roof is in need of repair. The next time you check your mail or back out of your driveway, take a glance at your roof, make note of any damage, and call Adams & Co. Roofing for a free no-obligation roof inspection. Adams & Co. Roofing's expert team members will assess the damage and provide top-quality repairs if needed to keep your roof and everything under it safe and sound. Don't wait for a small issue to become a big problem. Call Adams & Co. Roofing today.
Landscape professionals, do you have clients that could use topdressing.com service? Call them at 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com and discuss how they can help your clients with their proprietary top dressing service. Hey, Bermuda and Zoysa homeowners, they can help you too and offer free quotes and turf evaluations. Let them make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com.
The greatest show on dirt returns to Tia Garrison Arena May 22nd through 24th. Cowboys and cowgirls from across the Southeast will compete in bareback bronc, tie down roping, barrel racing, team roping, and bull riding. The action starts at 8 p.m. nightly. Adult tickets $15, students just $8 with 5 and under free admission. Championship Rodeo Finals, May 22nd through 24th, T. Ed Garrison Arena, Clemson. It's the greatest show on dirt.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join Mrs. Rage and all the Ragers on Thursday as we review the Clemson-Virginia Tech ACC tourney game, the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals in the NBA, Braves baseball, and we continue our 2025 college football preview, discussing Joel Klatt and Josh Pate's top 25, and we start to unveil the more important Road Rage top 25. It's a Road Rageous Thursday, starting at 3.
Start your day the Mickey way, talking sports before the sun comes up. The Mickey Plyler Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Prime Lending are helping people get mortgages. They're helping people get better rates. They're helping people with remodeling projects right now and buying some new houses. If you notice the housing market, some interesting things going on there. So, and summertime is the time people are moving. You know, you move in the summertime, guys. You don't have kids yet, but you know, just with kids and finishing out the school year, moving to new school districts or something like that, that's the time to move. This is why these folks will be extremely busy over the summer. Get them the best rug. Get yourself the best rates. We love it. It's our great friends over at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. All right, we were talking during the break. By the way, phone lines are open. We've got some really cool text to get to here. Some folks with some interesting thoughts. 654-ROAR, Adams Co. Roofing text line. Get in touch with us. We'll get those on now. We were talking during the break. And, Sam, you were talking about a high school player, a Major League Baseball prospect. Was that at your school or a rival school?
Yeah, we had a couple for like a two-year stretch, and it's just like a ridiculously funny skill gap to watch. That's what Landon and I were talking about. Nothing you can do.
It's a pro prospect in high school. Like, you can't get him out, right? The guy's batting 600. One thing you're trying to do is you're trying to keep him in the park. Like, you don't want him to hit.
You're limiting damage at
right,
that point.
Right, right, right. Well, my thing was this, and I saw something yesterday. I'll tell the whole story here. I'm not walking the guy because that's not – I mean, he's not going to hurt me. And if I walk him, he's definitely not going to hurt me that way. He's got to earn it around the bases, and everybody around him will have to hit. But instead of walking him, if he's that good of a player, I'm sorry, this sounds cutthroat, but we're hitting him. Like, he's going to get to first base, but he's going to have a little soreness in there, too. And we're going to hit him four times, and it might cause a brawl, and people say, well, it's terrible, whatever. But I'm not walking guys. We're not going to intentionally walk guys. We're not going to give you the four sign over there. You're going to put one in your back, you know, your lower back. Put one in your hamstring, you know, take one on the thigh. I'm not throwing up at your head. I don't want to put you out for the year.
Got to hit the elbow.
Yeah, hit
the
yeah.
bone, you know.
Yeah, get that. But I'm not. I mean, that's how it's gonna go. So anyway, I'm watching down a rabbit hole last night. I'm watching baseball. I'm watching Georgia Oklahoma. I'm watching flipping back to the ACC, the Pittsburgh and Duke game. Interesting what Duke did last night. Duke has 9 different pitchers. That's their strategy. It was gonna throw 9 guys, and Pollard does a good job of that. And that works unless one guy's just terrible and you have a huge inning and it doesn't go well. Anyway, so with that said, I'm also online, and I'm keeping up with the – I'm watching the women's golf. Stanford did not win the national championship. Northwestern won that one. But at the same time, I'm doing some show research and some show prep stuff, and I come across one of these reels that caught my attention. I don't normally go on reels and watch reels. I just don't have time. I'm too old and got too many things going on in my life. But it was something that I remember, and I absolutely got enthralled with it. And it's about a five-minute video. Fellas, it was about the August 12th, 1984 game between the Braves and the Padres. Are you guys familiar with this? Have you guys heard about this game at all?
Going to have to be more specific.
So on August the 12th, at Fulton County Stadium, the old Fulton County Stadium, which I've been to many, many times, for a series of brawls broke out between the Padres and Braves over a series of attempted beanings and retaliations. The game ended with a record 13 ejections and also 5 arrests from spectators getting involved in the ruckus.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this now.
Braves fans climb on the dugout and are throwing stuff and trying to get into Padres, trying to get the Padres players. It was the start of the game was delayed 90 minutes due to rain. And Pascual Perez, with the very first pitch of the game, hits Allen Wiggins. And here we go. The Braves went 2 up in the bottom of the first on a Claudell Washington home run. Then Perez came in the bottom of the second. Well, Ed Whitson threw at him as he squared the bunt. Perez responded by wielding his bat and started towards Whitson, but home plate umpire Stray Ripley restrained both. Both benches began to clear. Ripley issued warnings to both teams without any fighting ensuing. But Pascual Perez had the bat. He was going after Ed Whitson. Anyway, they scored another run to go up 3-0. In the bottom of the fourth, Whitson threw 3 straight inside fastballs at Perez again. And Ripley ejected Whitson and manager Dick Williams. So Pascual Perez's second at-bat, they throw at him again. In the bottom of the sixth, Perez gets thrown out again, and acting manager Ozzie Virgil is thrown out of the game. In the top of the seventh, Greg Nettles hits a solo home run off Perez, which incited later activity. In the bottom of the eighth, Craig Lefferts threw at Perez, and Ripley ejected him and the second acting manager, Jack Kroll. The Padres had 3 managers.
Hey, if you're the second one, managers, you might as well get knocked out at that point.
That's it. So they only had one coach. At the end of the game, they only had one coach there. This time, both dugouts cleared. The brawl was on. First base umpire John McSherry and Padres first baseman Steve Garvey attempted to head off the onslaught, but it was too late. Both teams in the middle of the field. 10 minutes of pushing, shoving, hitting back and forth. Bob Horner, who was on the disabled list for the Braves, but still dressed in uniform, comes out and gets involved in the brawl. Rick Camp from the Braves wrestled a guy to the ground. And finally, in the top of the ninth, now you think all this stuff is over. Top of the ninth, Donnie Moore hit Craig Nettles. And with the second pitch that came there and sparked another fight, Nettles was wrestled to the ground by Rick Mailer and Steve Bedrosian, Bedrock. And Moore was then attacked by Goose Gossage, who retaliated for the dugout, who retreated to the dugout. Gossage was also wrestled down by Joe Torre and other Braves players. When it was all said and done, fans from the seats behind the Padres dugout began to taunt the players, including Ed Whitson, who'd been ejected in the fourth inning, but he came back after taking a shower. He was in street clothes. Kurt Bavacqua climbed up on top of the dugout with a bat. People were ejected altogether. Fines and suspensions were issued for 4 days.
18 players.
Yes. 13 players ejected, 30 players and managers ejected, 18 different fines.
7 different suspensions.
Yes. Pascual Perez came to bat 4 times. They threw at him all 4 times.
This is in like the 3-year period where Joe Torre is managing the Braves, too, which I just find funny.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't had one of those in a while.
The
Not
point is,
brawl.
Man, you know.
In Dallas at the Palace, that's the only one.
This idea that Tony La Russa has, good thing his name, Tony La Russa, he always says, if you hit one of ours, we're hitting 2 of yours. But they also do it with Tony La Russa who started this thing where they might not do it that game because you've been warned and nobody gets kicked out, right? But if that's game 1 or game 2 of a series, maybe. But Tony La Russa has done this before. He puts it in the book, right? And in the end – it might not be – that might be the last time you see him in the regular season. But you got him spring training next year. Tony La Russa has had guys hit other players in spring training the next year as retaliation. And it goes back to my good friend Colin Brady, who is currently at the U.S. Naval Academy as an instructor who graduated. He pitched at Navy. He was a bat boy at Clemson when Kevin O'Sullivan, Florida's baseball coach now, was a pitching coach at Clemson. And Clemson, somebody hits a Clemson batter. And Colin is like 12 years old at the time as a bat boy there. And he one of the lessons he learned there as a pitcher was that, you know, the rest of the pitching guys are on the bench, like sitting down there. Clemson's at the plate, right? And or standing up at the fence or whatever, all the players up there. And the pitchers just kind of standing together. And the Clemson guy gets hit, right? Right, hitting a kidney or whatever it might be. And O'Sullivan, the pitching coach, leans back, looks down to his five or six guys that are going to be pitching the rest of the weekend series. He goes, "You guys make note of that? Y'all going to take care of it?" He goes, "We got it, coach." So, I mean, it's obviously a rite of baseball. But all that being said, it was interesting to see it last night. But, yeah, I'm not walking Barry Bonds. I'm going to hit Barry Bonds four times. We're not gonna just let you freely walk over to first base. You're going to get first base, but you're going to get a couple strawberries in there. And you're going to have some little soreness. You'll have to go to the trainer tomorrow before the game or whatever. And that might sound terrible, but it's just how it is. I have a ton of text to get to. Wanted to get to this one. Seneca Daniel tonight, Upper State Championship. Now, Landman, this is your guys. You're Daniel Lyon, yep. D-Dub, you know. This is – Seneca goes with their ace tonight.
Yes,
and
I believe so.
This was – tell me about what happened. In game one, it was a walk-off pickoff?
Yeah, so it was a failed pickoff.
Yeah, walk-off failed pickoff.
You could say. Yep, tied in the bottom of the seventh. Couple base runners got on. Then all of a sudden, they got runners at the corners. I believe, you know, we tried a fake pickoff to third, and
right.
He turned around to try to fire it back to first.
Right.
And spiked it into the ground, rolls all the way to the wall.
No. Hard way to
lose. Slides in. Yep, that's what did it. So, but now, you got to bounce back on your own home turf. And there was some problems with air horns, other noisemakers. So, apparently, Daniel's trying to respond right back today. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes over at Daniel tonight. If Clemson wasn't playing at 7, I'd head over and see that one for sure. 1978, good year, good phone call, good text. Said a lot of positives yesterday from the baseball game. The only negative I saw was 14 strikeouts. Too many. Yeah, you got to put the ball in play a little more. I get that. And then final one of this segment, I love the text from 9155, and I failed to mention this. And we failed to talk about this in segment two. So we can't forget about Colin Priest and how he's playing small ball when forced to, and he's getting better at it. Yes, Colin Priest has done this a couple times now. He's a power hitter. He's a pull hitter. They got the deep shift on. The third baseman or shortstop is deep over in the hole there. So he lines up and just lays a bunt down, as so many fans have clamored for years. Hey, just bunt it down the opposite side over there. He did it and got on base again last night with a runner over on first and kind of set it up for maybe one more run in there. I like the fact you do that. And
he's,
I like
a little bit, he's a little bit quicker than a lot of people think
he is.
Yeah,
for a big burly man, he got down the line pretty good. And the third baseman was forced to try to make a bare hand attempt, and it wasn't. But nice to see that one from Colin Priest, and nice to see him give up that. But that's what, as the color analyst on TV said, that's what Clemson does. And that's kind of like who they are. So, really, really good stuff to see that.
If they give it to you, take it.
Yeah, and nice to have the bat control to be able to do that. And it's another example of getting, you know, putting traffic on the base pass. All right, we've got a lot to do. We've got I hadn't told you about the NHL from last night, the Major League Baseball stuff from last night, all the college baseball action. We'll set up today's action. We'll talk about pitching matchups a little bit. We haven't got to Paul Maneri. He's coming back. South Carolina did not have an official release on that. And the other part of South Carolina baseball is a parent ripped the staff, a parent of a former player now because the kid's in the transfer portal. But he ripped the staff. We'll let you know what he said. We have a busy second hour, I should say. We'd love for you to come back. 654 Roar, hour number two, right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.